Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favorite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Ah, welcome in.
It's football time. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's more than that. Oh, it is more than football time.
Welcome into a show.
Maybe the best show we will ever have. Alternatively, the potential to be the worst and final show we ever have. So this is going to be a wild ride, Foot Clan.
I apologize for the welcome in. It was said through gritted teeth. I appreciated your it's football time.
I'm loving life over here, guys.
There's some crap that happened. Jason teased the drama on look, there's a point yesterday, Jason. I told you this right when I came in. And let me say this at the top. This is going to be a jam-packed show. We have a ton of matchups we're going to break down.
Yep.
We have our starts of the week. We got the boom-boom kicker. We've got a lot going on. But yesterday, we spent some time talking about what was transpiring in the league. I mean, I put you on the spot on the show in our league of record to offer you Saquon Barkley and a couple of second-round draft picks. That is the highest capital pick we can offer in our league. And I put you on the spot to trade me Austin Eckler. A lot of people wanted to know what happened. I got a lot of tags.
I talked to my co-manager for a long
time. Yeah, you were in a room for a while.
We looked at everything, every matchup of every opponent in the league and as far as we could go, and we believe we can win the championship. So we did not wave the white flag. I did not accept the deal. So unfortunately, you tried very hard to get a good deal for you, and it was turned down. But you didn't rest on your laurels.
I never do.
You never do.
I never do. And so you declined that trade. And what I was getting at was that there was something that transpired yesterday that you teased quickly for the benefit of the show on Twitter. And you said there's some drama. And I almost messaged you last night and said, you can't talk about it.
Yeah, I know.
Like there's a point in which you can talk about something that has impacted you. And then there's a point where you are still dealing with it on a deep level. Yeah. And what happened yesterday in our league was on the Mount Rushmore of the worst things that I have ever experienced as a manager, from an ethics, whatever you want, yeah. Integrity.
Yeah.
I mean, throughout all the important words that people want to have as a human being.
So let me set the table here for the listener so they can understand, because this is legit. Like, I don't remember ever seeing you as mad as you were yesterday. This isn't like fake forced drama. This was ready to denounce a family member.
Yeah, unfortunately, it involved Papa Josh, who is my brother-in-law.
Yeah. So here's what happened. Andy never rests on his laurels, does not get my trade. And I knew when I denied that trade that you would just turn around and try to go make an even better trade for you. It's what you do. So you go and you try to get Jamar Chase for your team. You use those two second-round draft picks.
I want to say more. I want to say more. I want to table set better.
I know, but I want it to be clear, and you're very emotional right now. You are trying to make a deal primarily for Jamar Chase, and in so doing, working with Papa Josh, you can't get a deal to go down because he wants a certain thing that you don't have. He doesn't want to break up a stack, yada, yada, yada. He wants a stack. And so you and you alone coordinate a three-team trade between you and Papa Josh and Al Borland that heals everybody's desires.
Never had a three-team trade go through in our league.
Took
a considerable amount of thought and time, but the little extra context I want to add is that at the lunch table, the whole conversation began because Papa Josh said, "Hey, Andy, would you consider Jonathan Taylor and a couple for Saquon and a couple twos?" Because it was the same offer you had denied.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Nah, he's on a bye. Otherwise, I would probably consider that." I said, "What about Ja'Marr Chase?" Josh goes to his desk. "You know, I could probably survive that. Let me go talk to my co-manager." So that was the beginning of it.
Okay.
And he came back to me and said, "You know what? I just can't do it because I don't want to lose my stack. I have the Burrow Chase stack. If I didn't have that stack, I would probably do it."
Okay.
Sorry. I know that's probably not as necessary, it was in my heart.
You go and you find a way to get Josh a new stack.
Yes.
With Justin Fields and DJ Moore.
Yep. Multiple second round picks being involved. Amari Cooper. Al Borland is a third party to it. He's providing the stack.
Mm-hmm.
He gets more. I knew Al's been trying to trade DJ Moore for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Look, I can get you more than DJ Moore. I can get you Joe Burrow and DJ Moore.
Yeah.
I'm going to solve a problem for you."
It was a great deal for Jeremy. In fact, both Jeremy and Josh thought you came up with a brilliant plan because they weren't looking at this. They had no plans of making this trade, but they found a way. Well, you found a way for their teams to be better.
Yes, and we talked about it for an hour. We're keeping it very secret. In fact, I want to add this nuance in there. Al offered the deal, and I clicked accept. So we had two-thirds of a party.
Two-thirds were
and
done.
And we just had Papa Josh, my brother, former
brother-in-law.
My brother, who's just said, "I just need to wait for my co-manager." Uh-huh, and then we might be there.
And then the trade went through. The trade goes through the platform. Sleeper alert. Trade has been accepted. I'm sure you were excited.
Thrilled.
And then you saw the trade, and it was the same trade you came up with. Without you, you're cut out of it. You don't get Ja'Marr Chase. You don't send the two twos to Papa Josh. But Papa Josh and Jeremy, they liked what you came up with in the other players in the deal, and so they took your deal without you, carving you out, and you were not happy. You are not happy. It was so uncomfortable and entertaining at the same time. And now these two gentlemen over here in Deucer's Alley, let's show these two shameful gentlemen in Deucer's Alley.
Josh hasn't looked at me.
He can't look up at all.
When I got home last night, my wife had a text from him saying, like, "Give him a hug because something, like, I did a bad thing."
Oh, so here's the truth. And you're not going to like...
No. Bull crap. I didn't even get to say anything else after you concluded that. I have been very vocal from the moment it happened. It is fine to decline my trade. What happened was neither person, and I hold Al very responsible, because Al could have accomplished the deal later in the day with integrity, but he chose to put the blame on Papa Josh and just accept the deal. No one told me. Nobody rejected the offer. Everybody said, "We're about to do it." And then they secretly back-channeled this trade that I built with no disclosure of saying, "Hey, I don't want to do it." So I was incensed. There's only one thing that's happened to me in this league that was worse. It was by Mike a long time ago. But this was true bad form, in my opinion.
Yeah, Bush League bad form. And the way that I see it is the process is certainly wrong. But also,
I understand the outcome.
The outcome makes sense.
It
was a trade that made
totally
sense for
fine
both
with
them,
that.
And Josh didn't want to give up Ja'Marr Chase.
So no, he didn't want to give him up to me.
But sure, he didn't want to trade you Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, exactly.
And in the end, I'm like, okay, that's fair game.
Totally.
The only thing that was really upsetting about it is that they didn't come to you and say, "Hey,
we're not in on this,
but we're going to take..." They should have just been men of honor and said,
hey,
"We're going to do this deal without you. I am sorry. I don't want to give you Ja'Marr Chase." Instead, they pushed it through, carved you out.
What is the opposite of a man of honor? That would be a man of dishonor.
That would be Papa John's.
That would be a man of dishonor. So I've put the blame 80-20 on Papa Josh.
It is 80-20 on Papa Josh because, Jeremy was the third party here just accepting whatever trade came his way. He wasn't the negotiator.
He did send it. He sent the new one through, so he was...
I didn't send it.
No.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. You sent it back through. Don't you lie.
Wait, you're talking about the deal that Josh and I did?
Oh, no, not that
No,
one.
He sent no. your trade I, through.
Yeah, because I had countered. They decided that
Can
the
Can you cut his mic?
No, that, I control the mics. They decided that the counter was no good, so I sent it back through with the original trade that I was willing to do. I clicked accept on both trades.
He thinks that absolves him.
You're sitting here saying that I should have said I don't want to do the deal. I did want to do the deal.
I wanted the deal.
Josh didn't want the deal.
If you're part of the deal, you be a man of honor.
And so, Foot Clan, I remind everybody what I said yesterday. All the ups, all the downs, all the crazy, all the good and the bad. It's what makes fantasy football so doggone fun. The fact that we have these emotions, that we have these frustrations, because you're not going to rest on your laurels now. You're probably going to go make an even better trade for you. I'm not worried about you. I mean, I'm worried about you as like a competitor.
And his mental health.
And maybe your mental health. Yeah, for sure. But this is fun. And we are all having so much fun.
Be honorable, Foot Clan. Be honorable. That's all I'm going to ask.
And now football.
And you know what's funny is, you don't know this, I had three other managers from other teams in the league that found out what happened, and they all messaged me separately, and they said they were so sorry for what happened and that this league shouldn't be like that.
That's so sweet.
And I was like, that made me feel good because everybody knows that Josh sucks. All right, moving on.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Practice updates that matter. Dameon Pierce didn't practice again on Wednesday. So we are
full steam ahead with Devin Singletary. The matchup is great. He was awesome last week. You know he's going to have, 90% of the workload. Looks pretty, pretty nice so far.
The roulette situation in Houston with their wideouts in a good matchup against Arizona continues. Robert Woods, Noah Brown didn't practice.
Okay.
Nico's back. Nico Collins back at practice.
Robert Woods, I'm not worried about at all. This is a veteran day of rest. He's been dealing with his injury. He came back, played a little more than half the snaps, and this is an expected day of rest. Noah Brown, I don't think, has been getting Wednesdays off, so it is a little bit interesting. This, to me, when I see Nico Collins, Robert Woods, Noah Brown, all three of these guys kind of on and off the roulette wheel of injuries, that says Tank Dell. That says Tank Dell is the healthy one in the same great matchup that I really want in my lineups.
Justin Fields will start on Sunday. The injury was a thumb. He's been working on grip strength, getting back out there. It means a bump up for DJ Moore. It means if Justin Fields is healthy.
I will say.
It is the Lions. That is a potentially a challenging matchup. Justin Fields under pressure has not been exceptional.
Yeah, they're not. They're great run defense and an average secondary. The timeline that they took with Justin Fields does give me confidence. They said from the moment it happened, they are not going to put him back out on the field until he is ready and he is accurate and he's playing the same as he did before. And the fact that they took an entire month off without putting him on IR says to me, I believe he is ready. So it is a little dicey to say week one back with Justin Fields, who was, both hot and cold before the injury. Hard to be very confident in him, but I do think you can play him this week.
Okay. Well, I mean, the quarterback options right now in fantasy, we spent too much time on, we're talking about Joshua Dobbs. We're talking about Sam Howell. We're talking about, some of those kind of options you didn't think were locked in. Fields was very good for a handful of games. Vikings updates. Justin Jefferson still limited. Hamstring. Gut thoughts right now?
I think he plays this week.
My gut is that he doesn't.
Well, one of our guts will be wrong.
Yes. KJ Osborne returned to practice. Alexander Mattison, concussion, did not practice. Unlikely that Madison will be available. And Jason, our Arizona Cardinals have signed Michael Carter.
Which is great news because it just means he went claimed and he cannot be signed onto the practice squad of the Jets. Breece Hall, please involve yourself in the passing game.
I don't think a lot of practice squad players play on Sunday.
No, but they can be called back up really easily.
That was today's news and notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance. Let's get into the forecast.
Fantasy forecast.
I forecast a job opening. That's what I forecast.
Just one?
That's... Just one. Well, just one.
Oh, that's nice. Hey, Al, you get to keep your job. Fantastic.
That's good news.
Papa Josh, see yourself out.
Yeah. All right. Colts, Falcons, Patriots, Saints. Yeah, we are going to get some messages about that job opening, so we may have to really consider it. Colts, Falcons, Patriots, Saints on bye.
I'm really sad about the Falcons being on bye. Bijan Robinson, I don't think we talked about it enough on Monday's episode, but it really seemed like Arthur, minus the mustache, I mean, Bijan Robinson played 75% of the snaps, had 22 carries, had inside the five opportunities where he scored a touchdown, ran a ton of routes. Like, he had full utilization in this game in a way that he really hasn't had this season. And so I was excited to play him again this week, and he's unfortunately on bye.
Yeah, I'm mostly optimistic there. However, they did lose with that plan. They lost with it, and they played Arizona. And Arizona is a bit of a friendly to the efficiency of the running back, but it was a good sign.
Yeah, 9 carries versus 22 carries, Algier to Bijan. That's just so important. That's what it needs to be.
The Pittsburgh Steelers at 6-3 take on the 6-3 Cleveland Browns. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Cleveland -1. The over-under is...
Hold your breath, Footclan.
33.
I believe I heard somewhere that this is the second lowest line in a decade.
Yep. It opened at 38.5. Right. We got the news about Deshaun Watson that dumped the line down to 33 points. That makes it a 17-16 game by the books, and that's not a lot of points. There's not a lot of, like they lowered the ceiling at this stadium, in my opinion. Very low.
Yeah, there are no more nosebleed sections because those are now outside of the roof.
Yeah, I mean, this is, like, the players involved, there's a lot of names. Najee, Jaylen Warren, Deontay Johnson, Jerome Ford, Kareem Hunt, Amari Cooper. You got George Pickens in the mix. You got David Njoku. That's a lot of names, players that have been started frequently.
Mm-hmm.
You also have a Browns defense that is the best in football. You've got them at home, where their defense is going to be very effective, I think, against Kenny Pickett and company. Like, this is not a good matchup for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
No, I will say
and
though,
and the Browns are still favored.
The last time that we saw Dorian Thompson Robinson play, the Cleveland Browns' great defense was very bad. And the reason they were bad is because they kept finding themselves in short field positions due to turnovers from DTR. It doesn't make a huge difference here. I think you're still going to be weary of most players in this game. On the Cleveland Browns side, led by DTR, David Njoku's been in a lot of lineups. I'm not playing him. The only player in the passing game that I will consider is Amari Cooper, and I'm not excited to play Amari Cooper.
Are you actively just trying to find anybody else to play? Like, would you play DeAndre Hopkins?
I would play DeAndre Hopkins.
Would you play George Pickens against Cleveland?
No, I would play Deontay Johnson against Cleveland, though. Even though the Browns are very good against all positions, the way that they play defense is kind of how Deontay Johnson exploits matchups. So I'm still Deontay Johnson over George Pickens.
But over Cooper, I'm saying.
Yeah, I would go Deontay Johnson, Amari Cooper, then George Pickens.
Deontay did not practice. He has a thumb injury. So
that is
something to pay attention to. And that
it
could
was
have,
a Wednesday.
Yeah. I don't want to play Deontay. I'd be on the other side of that coin there. This Cleveland defense has been very formidable. That game you talked about, it was 28-3. Baltimore beat Cleveland. DTR had 3 interceptions, and I think he had a fumble. Some defensive scores. I am nervous. And Jaylen Warren last week, Jason, we talked about this yesterday in the studio after the show. Jaylen Warren got the introduction for the team.
As the starter. And I've heard some people talking about how Mike Tomlin has now named Jaylen Warren the starter. That's not true.
That's not true.
That is not the truth. If you look at what Mike Tomlin said, this was just an honor before the game so that in the introductions at home, they could he said he wanted to reward Jaylen Warren's play with that honor of being introduced as the starter for the game. Like, he gets to run out as the, you know, as the starter, be announced, and that's a really cool honor. He says he does this all the time for different players, sub package defensive guys he'll name as a starter for a home game. You know, Jaylen Warren's involved, but he is not the starter of this. That got overblown from a headline, not listening to what Mike Tomlin was actually saying.
Yeah, and last week they split snaps exactly. Najee Harris, I think, had the first five carries. It's a pure 50-50 split against the number four ranked defense. The Browns give up 14 points on the ground.
Oh, so split it in half.
7 points.
No, thank you. I bench both.
Jerome Ford is in play to me because I think they're going to be very run-centric, and if they do what you just said, if they flip the field on Kenny Pickett, Jerome Ford is going to get the majority of the work, and the Steelers are only middle of the pack against that. I would, again, when I said lower than the ceiling, I meant every player in this game is not going to give you a week-winning performance.
Correct.
The next game is the Bears and the Lions. Oh, by the way, are you interested in Freiermuth on return, or are you just watching?
Like, as in starting him? Not in,
correct.
No, I'm not going to start him against the Browns. The Browns are number one on the season against tight ends, so no thank you.
I only bring it up because a lot of fab has been spent on him recently. The Bears, 3-7. The Lions are 7-2. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Detroit, -7.5. The over-under is 48. And they were even more favored before the Fields expectation for him to start.
Yeah, started as a double-digit favorite for the Lions, with Fields announces the starter. Now it's at 7.5. And I think this is really good. Fields being active in this game is just good for all parties. Kind of the opposite of what happened with Deshaun Watson in the previous matchup. And, oh, we get revenge game narrative. David Montgomery.
Yeah,
there
could be some more opportunity given there. The Bears defense, we need to remember, it's been much better against the run in recent history. You can't look at the whole year where they're terrible. But over the last, like, literally, on the year, schedule adjusted, they're 26th.
Yeah, they're terrible. They're one of the worst.
Over the last 6 weeks, they're fourth. They've been giving up 13.6 fantasy points per game. It's something to keep in mind. It's not going to impact what your decision is this week, though.
And it has been against quality running backs. It hasn't just been
Josh
a schedule
Jacobs and,
of
yeah.
scrubs. They've really limited people on the ground. They do give it up a little bit more through the air. So in this matchup, even though there is the revenge narrative of David Montgomery, I am Jahmyr Gibbs over David Montgomery in this matchup.
Interesting.
I think his utilization, the fact that he had multiple goal line opportunities last week, and he catches the ball, he's more and more involved. I love both players. I'm starting both guys, but if I had to pick one, I'm going Jahmyr Gibbs.
I haven't validated it, but I had seen it sourced a couple of times or mentioned a couple of times that they actually called Montgomery in for that goal line and that Montgomery waved it off to give it to Gibbs.
Oh, really?
Because Gibbs had the big run to get down there.
No, that is boo-doo-doo, boo-doo-doo, breaking news.
So I think that is a very real possibility that that's what transpired.
Wow.
And obviously Gibbs succeeding for three consecutive weeks, you're going to expect the team to give him more opportunity. This is the Lions at home. Goff is a must play. Gibbs and Montgomery aren't leaving your lineup. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a top five receiver, in my opinion, right now.
For sure.
And then Sam Laporta is, of course, going to be started in this game. Jason threw out the interesting thought process that Jameson Williams may have more opportunity in this offense, and you said it on the basis of the fact that he laid a big block. He was participating in more and more. And then we got a quote after the game.
Yeah, so Dan Campbell on Jameson Williams, he said, quote, he feels like he's one of the guys now. The more that he earns his stripes here, the more opportunities he gets. He's in a good place right now. He's improving. These quotes matter because these are not the quotes that have been coming out on Jameson Williams. Yeah, I think it was before we were recording yesterday. I said, like, I think Jameson Williams is going to break out soon. I'm in on him now. Because what he did when he ran down the field and opened up that opportunity for David Montgomery to score the 75-yard rushing yard, that was Lions football. That is not what he's been doing. And they literally said, you don't block, you don't get the rock. That's what they have told Jameson Williams. So he goes downfield and he blocks. They're going to try to get him the ball.
On the other side, the matchup, Justin Fields, you said you'd play him. Here's where the running backs stand in Chicago right now. Khalil Herbert, still on IR technically, was limited in Wednesday's practice. We thought we'd get him back last week. We didn't. So I don't know if that means things just didn't feel right. But so far, we don't know if he's going to be out there. Now, Deonta Foreman is also limited with an ankle injury. Roshan is just a complimentary back. His role's not changing.
None of this matters. None of this
just
matters.
Don't play him.
If Khalil Herbert and Roshan Johnson are both gone, I'm not playing Deonta Foreman. This is a game that doesn't project well. The Lions have a great ground defense against the run. And this will be a timeshare, so I'm not interested in these players.
Give me your season finishing viewpoint on DJ Moore. DJ Moore had a 45-point explosion against Washington in week 5 and a big week the week before.
Mm-hmm. Those are two Justin Fields games.
Now, he had a Justin Fields game in week 6 that was 7.6 fantasy points. And then the last 4 weeks, he's been held in check because Tyson Bagent has been the quarterback. So do you view DJ Moore as a what rest of season?
I view him as a top 15 wide receiver rest of season. That week 6 where he only put up 7.5 fantasy points, Justin Fields only played 53% of the snaps. He played half a game. So I'm not worried about that for DJ Moore. They were on a heater together. DJ Moore is a solid option this week.
All right. Any other players from this matchup you want to throw out there?
Cole Kmet has been on a tear. Obviously, it's been with Taysom. I can't remember his first name because he's Bilbo.
have called him Bilbo for quite a while, or Secret Bagent Man.
Yeah, so Bilbo Bagent has loved himself some Cole Kmet. But, you know, what Cole has done is he's shown that he's a dude out there. And so I think you can still start Cole Kmet in this
match.
That's
with a capital D.
Right. That was actually all caps.
It's Tyson. Say it with me now. Tyson.
Bilbo.
Okay, that's what it sounded like. Quick break, back with Chargers Packers.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Some things may seem small at the time, but when you keep them inside, when you keep everything bottled up, you leave those emotions to fester, and they can have some serious negative consequences. I know when I was younger, you know, you don't want to always say what's on your mind. You don't want to be seen as ungrateful or insensitive or whatever, but sometimes you bottle those things up too long, and they develop into real problems. Talking things out, working through what's weighing you down, it is more helpful than you realize. And if you want a safe space for that conversation, I recommend therapy. I've had therapy. I've had practical, personal advances through therapy, whether I'm learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries personally, how to make better habits in my life. There's a lot of benefit, and you can give BetterHelp a try if you've been thinking of starting therapy. It's entirely online. It's convenient and flexible. It's also easy to get started. You just fill out one brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/footballers.
This episode is brought to you by Rocket Money. It's no secret we get deep on football here to the point where, yeah, maybe I might lose track of a few other things, like subscriptions. I mean, do you know how many you've got right now? Probably not. But our sponsor, Rocket Money, can help. I've been a longtime user of Rocket Money. I love it. I get pop-ups all the time checking in on my finances. Things like subscriptions, like, hey, you should probably go through your subscriptions and just make sure that everything is on the up and up. And I go and I check and I review every single time. And sometimes, every once in a while, boom, there's a subscription that I forgot about that I don't use anymore. Thank you, Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/footballers. That's rocketmoney.com/footballers, rocketmoney.com/footballers.
I still can't look at Josh.
Well, to be fair, prior to this incident, very hard to look at Josh.
That is
like,
fair.
It's just
Thank
not
you.
A fun time.
Every time that you say something that's even remotely on my side, I feel good.
Good.
Los Angeles, they're 4-5. The Packers are 3-6. The DraftKings Sportsbook line is Chargers -3. The over-under is 44. Neither of these teams currently playoff bound. Justin Herbert has been on fire. From a fantasy perspective, he's been very good. He's the quarterback 4 on the season. He's got top 12 performances in 7 of 9 weeks. And, you know, the Packers at Lambeau, not the best matchup for the quarterback position. I wouldn't expect top 5 this week from Herbert, but I also wouldn't expect anyone to bench him.
Yeah, small chance of rain on the road in Lambeau here, cold weather game. It doesn't make itself look like a pass-heavy game, especially when you look at the Packers being a run-funnel defense. They've really shut down quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, but they are just gashable on the ground. So
Eckler.
Obviously, Austin Eckler looks like he's a great play this week. You know, I don't overblow that because Austin Eckler, he doesn't just have good performances against bad defenses or doesn't show up against good defenses. So I'm not like over the moon for Eckler this week versus most weeks. He's just always going to be a top five guy.
Can I say something briefly about our show yesterday, the playoff primer? And I saw a lot of people respond to that show. I think it was well received. I think people went out and they made moves. I saw people sharing their trades for Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. I saw people sharing their trades for Austin Eckler.
Mm-hmm. It was an excellent show. You're right.
It was an awesome, excellent show.
Yeah.
I want to just comment briefly on the fact that, just a reminder, like, you're not in the playoffs right now. Like, I do want to remind people there are 4 weeks left.
Yeah.
So if you are fighting to get into the playoffs, there are some trades that you could make that would be putting the cart before the horse. And I just want people to be careful. I know you're at the deadline. So if you're secure, that's what that was to let you know what the future holds for a lot of players at the position. But, you know, you got to get there and you got 4 weeks to do it. And there are some players that have great playoff schedules that don't have the best schedule for the next 4 weeks. And so you need to contextualize that. You don't need to do everything you can, no matter what, and then not end up there.
If I don't end up in the playoffs, I'm going to be so mad I didn't take your deal.
Well, look, you told me that yesterday. You said you guys talked for, I think it was 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
And then you came out of your little trading vestibule, and I didn't know which way you were going to go. And you kind of said, look, I know this is unrealistic because you'll have traded your picks by then. But if Sunday comes around, because our deadline, it's basically when the games end on Monday.
Right.
You said if Sunday comes around and we've lost, we're probably going to come back to you.
Yeah, I'll take that deal if you still got the picks.
Yeah, which, I mean, we'll see. I definitely don't have 9 trade offers out right now. So, Eckler, of course, you play him. The Herbert question, I mean, I guess people could have Kyler. Kyler against Houston or Herbert on the road against the Packers.
I would play Kyler.
I lean that direction, too. And then Howell against the Giants. I probably stay with Big Herbs there based on his performances, just because Howell has been unpredictably weird at times.
I've got Howell one spot behind Justin Herbert.
I don't want to mess around with Chargers tight ends at all.
No.
I'm throwing that out there. I don't really want to mess around with non-Keenan Allen wide receivers. Jalen Guyton, Quentin Johnson, could either of them have a good game this week? Of course.
Yeah, sure thing.
Could neither of them?
Probably. Yeah.
What on earth do we do with Packers? I mean, there's a world where... there's a world where you don't want to play any of them.
Yeah, I mean, you can throw on the Chargers pretty easily. So it's a tempting matchup at home in a game that you're not a huge underdog in. The question is just, it's hard to know who to start between Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed. And because of that, I think in redraft leagues, you don't start any of them.
I agree with that, and Watson's banged up again.
Yeah, in DraftKings, you know, that's where you can take a shot on someone. Like, I know Jaden Reed is 4,000.
Yeah.
And so he's just a really good value on a good matchup when he doesn't cost a lot.
Yep.
If you're factoring in the value of players, not just start-sit decisions in your home leagues, then you could play with them. But otherwise, I'm pretty much out on all Packers.
Minus Aaron Jones. Yeah.
Minus Aaron Jones, yes.
Yeah, that would be the one. Hey, did you hear the big rumor?
I didn't.
The Belichick rumor?
Oh, the Manders want to trade for Belichick? That's what I've heard.
No. I heard he's leaving after the year. He's going to be the head coach and general manager of another franchise. And there's some rumors that that's already decided where he's going. And
that's not the Manders? I've heard this with the Manders.
That's the Los Angeles Chargers.
Interesting.
Yeah. And that he'll take over the defense. He'll let Herbert be Herbert. He wants to go. I mean, like, to me, there's no chance he's going to the Manders. None.
Why?
Unless he has a big belief in Sam Howell. Sam Howell and Justin Herbert, that is a massive differential on the future of what you expect the player to be. So I would be, if I'm him, I'd much rather go to a place where Justin Herbert is.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you'd rather have Herbert than Howell. But he's under contract, so this would be a trade situation, and the Patriots will consider his wishes. But
yeah, that's all I'm saying. So it's one of those things where it'll be very interesting to see.
I think we're done with this game.
All right, we're going to move on. We've got the Las Vegas Raiders at 5-5 taking on the 6-3 Miami Dolphins. The DraftKings Sportsbook line. Miami minus 13.5. The over-under is 46.5. Goodness gracious. Miami opened at minus 10, and it's been bet to minus 13.5?
Yeah.
Who would you take at 13.5?
That line becomes interesting, but I would take the Raiders. Or, I'm sorry, I would take the Dolphins. What we have seen with – I mean, I guess the question is, are the Raiders good? Because they're 5-5, and they're at least playing with new life. You know, the Antonio Pierce coming in as head coach and rallying the troops, and they're coming off of two wins. Maybe the Raiders are a legitimate team. Over the course of the season, the Raiders have looked really bad. They have a low drafted rookie at quarterback right now. They're not a scary team. And what we've seen with the Dolphins this year is they can't get over the hump against good teams. And they absolutely destroy and annihilate the souls of everyone else. So at home for Miami against a team that I don't believe is really actually good in the Raiders, I think they're going to roll.
What will be interesting is the Raiders clearly have made a decision that they're going to give the rock to Josh Jacobs as much as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do when they're down 24-3?
They're going to give Josh Jacobs the rock as much as humanly possible.
See, I think we'll finally get to see what Aiden O'Connell can do. They're going to have to try to throw the ball to get back into this game.
Do you think you want to see that?
I'm not saying I think people want to know what the potential Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers is in the offense. And like the one thing about Miami, I know they got their corners back, but when you're playing a prevent type of defense at some point in this game, if you're against, you know, a huge deficit, I mean, the game projects to be 13.5 point differential. I'm just excited to have a game that they can't, like, you can't get back into this game just handing it to Josh Jacobs. That's not going to be a realistic thing.
I agree. And over the last 6 weeks, the Dolphins have really shut down the run. They're top three over the last 6 weeks in total fantasy points to running backs. So it doesn't project to be a great matchup for Jacobs. And the implied team total for the Dolphins is 30 points. That is that's a number where you want to get as many players in the game as possible. And there are a lot. You could start Mostert. You could start Tyreek, obviously. Jalen Waddle, obviously. There's going to be a ton of questions. I'm telling you right now, I'm starting Devon Achane. You don't want to miss out.
You're not waiting
out
for more information.
I am not waiting for more information. I don't want to miss out on what he can do in a matchup like this against the Raiders, who can get gashed on the ground and have a 30-point performance on my bench. Maybe he goes out and puts up five points. I mean, obviously, if he's active. He has not technically been activated yet, but the expectation is that I think they said he could have pretty much played with a knee sleeve. They took a very measured approach here, and I think Devon Achane's wheels up.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is Devon Achane, I probably take a different view than you in the sense that he's going to have limited opportunities. They're not, you know, this is not going to be, I think you're talking eight.
I don't mind that. Give me eight Devon Achane runs against
the Raiders. If he's hesitant, anything like that, I think it's risky. I wouldn't start him in any circumstance. I'd start Devin Singletary over him every day of the week. this week against Arizona.
Devin Singletary, assuming that Dameon Pierce isn't there, projects to be a great start. I don't have any problem if that's – if you want to take the safer approach, I think Singletary is safer. His floor is higher than what Devon Achane first week back off of injury is. I will still start Devon Achane there.
You're a wild man.
No risk it, no biscuit.
You're a wild man.
I want those points.
Tyreek Hill, you play him. Jaylen Waddle, of course. And, you know, the Raiders, it's going to be Jacobs. It's going to be Adams.
And then stop.
And then stop talking.
The last three games for Jacoby Myers, one reception, two receptions, two receptions.
Yeah, and they did make, I mean, like, I know Adams last week, it was a better game. Like, Adams had, the number that made me happy, you know how many targets he had against the Jets defense? 13.
It's a good number.
He had 13 targets against the Jets. He had a good game against the Jets for a team that scored 16 points. He was 6 for 86. Some signs of life there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Devontae Adams is Devontae Adams. You start him. 31% of the targets in the three Aiden O'Connell starts.
Achane or Mixon against Baltimore?
Achane.
Wow. Henry against Jacksonville or Achane?
Achane.
Okay. Barry Sanders against the Steelers.
I'll take Barry Sanders.
Okay. You went Barry there. I wasn't surprised. New York, the Giants, 2-8.
Devon.
Go ahead.
I don't want to say where he is. But
you do know that Devon Achane is like not going to do that his whole career, right?
I obviously know that he cannot possibly score on average 30 fantasy
points. But see, that's not what your tattoo says.
Right. Devon Achane right now is my running back 4 on the week. So, no risk it, no biscuit. I'm not benching him.
All right. So who would you play? You haven't said a name over him.
Christian McCaffrey.
We got to find the line.
Austin Eckler, Jahmyr Gibbs. Those three are.
Oh, I guess if he's at 4, that's the three above him, right?
That is it.
So you would play him over Montgomery.
Yeah. I'm
that's the message. So bench your ETNs, play your Achanes. Man, I don't know what I want to happen. I do, because I think I'm facing Achane. So I want him to fall on his face and you look stupid. But,
okay, fair.
But that's for me, not because I want you to feel
bad. I will take the lumps because I recognize the risk. You have a chance of him going out and getting one carry.
Now, you used to have him, didn't you?
You shut your evil mouth. Yes, I did, and he got injured, and I had to make moves.
Oh, yeah.
To get wins.
Yeah.
And I went and I got David Montgomery, Woo! Who then got injured. Anyways.
Yeah. All right. That's
fantasy's stupid. It's not fun at all.
Yeah, that's what we're pointing out here. Giants 2-8, the Commanders 4-6. The Giants with a 14-point implied point total. DraftKings Sportsbook has Washington as 9-point home favorites. The over-under is 37. I mean, you know, the Giants are a giant mess. I mean, there's no team I would I don't want to cast my eyes upon thy television set.
No, you this should be tape delayed for sure. You brought
they
up
should
at
tape
lunch,
delay it and skip the Giants offensive possessions.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I would watch the Manders game if I didn't have to watch the Giants game.
The Manders game. Just the Manders on offense.
You brought this up because for some reason I didn't even remember, but Tyrod Taylor's coming back. He will be eligible to return off of IR here shortly, maybe next week. I don't remember the exact timeline. In the meantime, so things could get better for Wandale, for Saquon. I know we worried a lot about the playoff schedule for Saquon. It's as bad as it gets, and this Giants team is genuinely as bad as I've ever seen any NFL team. But this is the Danny DeVito-led Giants, and that won't be how they finish the season. It should be the Tyrod Taylor-led Giants, who are far more capable. Danny DeVito shouldn't be in the NFL. He's a penguin.
That's, I guess, factually true.
Yeah, I'm just speaking facts.
The Washington defensive matchup for running backs is really good. So this could be your last hurrah with Saquon. Now, it has been reported, and I saw the game. He did tweak his ankle a little bit in that game, came back out on the field, got a billion more carries, but something to monitor. He was limited on Wednesday. No sign that he won't be out there, but, I mean, if he wasn't out there, you could drop the Giants to about a 0 implied point total.
Right, and assuming he is out there, you're going to start him. You know, he's getting 24 opportunities a game. Even if they're inefficient, that will add up to fantasy points. On the other side...
Yeah, I'm not touching anybody else, though. No Wandale, no Sladen, no Hyatt, no one else.
No, thank you. But for the Washington Manders, you've got Sam Howell, who's been on a tear. You saw Dak destroy the Giants last week, and they just kept throwing. I worry that this is like a trap for the receiving game for the Manders, and that they'll get to more running if they're up by, you know, 10 points.
I do agree with you on that. I mean, it's possible. And we've seen them ignore, like, Sam Howell's having monster fantasy games where, I mean, last week Terry McLaurin was not a good play, and Jahan Dotson was a goose, and Sam Howell was a monster. So
Sam Howell's averaging 40 passing attempts per game. He's been a top 10 quarterback in 5 of the last 6 weeks. It's hard to go away from him here, and I don't think you need to go away from him. But
you play him.
There is the potential here that they run the ball more than expected. Brian Robinson is a great play. I know you're going to talk about him later. He should be involved on the ground a lot. They haven't been running a ton, but they have been throwing the ball to the running backs.
Dallas, 6-3, taking on the 1-8 Carolina Panthers. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Dallas minus 10.5. The over-under is 42 points.
Who would, if the Panthers and the Giants were playing, the Danny DeVito Giants, if the Panthers and the Penguin Giants were playing, who, on a neutral field?
Panthers win.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, I'm sure you did, but Frank Reich is taking the play-calling duties back.
Yeah.
You know that they scored 2 offensive touchdowns and 30 drives once he handed them away. So this could mean good things for Adam Thielen, and they were a better offense when he was calling plays. We just didn't have the context of how bad it could get.
Yeah, yeah. We thought, oh, they're not very good, and so let's make a change. And they're like, oh, we were super good.
Right.
Let's go back.
So the Panthers, 10-point home underdogs, 10.5-point home underdogs. You know, Dallas has been on an absolute heater. I mean, they are putting up so many points. I don't know if you saw this last week. The reason CeeDee Lamb stayed in that game is they were trying to break the record for
10
catches and 150 yards. Once they did that, they pulled him.
Is there a chance they want to extend that record?
My fantasy team hopes so. A lot of people asked, how did I acquire CeeDee Lamb this week? Our league is a keeper league.
Right. It's very different.
So in a redraft, I think he would be nearly impossible to acquire unless you... I mean, I had people asking me, would you trade Tyreek Hill for CeeDee Lamb right now in a redraft? Because we went over the fact that Tyreek Hill has a terrible playoff schedule, but he's Tyreek Hill. And CeeDee Lamb has the best. And they've been both very good. Like, what would you do?
Yeah, it's a great question.
That's
a cool question people are
asking.
You'd
probably stay with what you got.
I would stay with Tyreek.
But the Cowboys, here's Tony Pollard. He can't get it done anywhere against anybody. And then the Panthers are like, here we are. Like, we're 32nd in the league over the last 6 weeks against running backs. We're 31st on the year. We'd love to give you points, Tony.
No one has been more anti-Tony Pollard than I have over the last couple of months, but you start Tony Pollard this week. This is I know last week was a good matchup. This week is a great matchup. In general, if you look at the Panthers, they are top 3 in fantasy. If you adjust for schedule in the course of the season, they are top 3 in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks, to wide receivers, and to tight ends. And the reason that they shut those positions down isn't because they're good. It's because they just can be run on so easily. They are 31st against the run. And so should be a Tony Pollard game.
Here's my counterpoint to that. I think Tony Pollard will be fine in this game. And by fine, I mean double digits for the first time in forever. But the Cowboys have something working. They throw the ball on first down. They have elite pass-catching options, and they keep throwing the football. Last week was a really good matchup for Tony Pollard.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't run the ball that much.
No, and it was shocking. It was shocking to watch them keep throwing the ball, even though they were up. It does make me question this matchup quite a bit. Last week's occurrence, where they just kept throwing on the Giants despite a massive lead, makes me look at this matchup against Carolina and say, hey, maybe they just do that again. Because if they want to do that, it will work. Carolina is not top 3 against these positions because they're great.
Right.
So it's just a matter of whatever the Cowboys want to do, they're going to do it well.
Adam Thielen still in your lineup?
Yes, for sure. Okay. Even though it's the Dallas Cowboys, good defense. Thielen's been very, very involved. if you're in a PPR league with Frank Reich taking over play calling duties, he is in. That's the end, though. It's Adam Thielen as a like wide receiver 2-3 option. And then I don't want to play with Chuba, or definitely not Miles Sanders. Or
you don't want to play the Chuba?
No.
Do you mess around with Brandon Cooks at all?
No, I don't think so. I know he had a monster game last week, and so sometimes you want to chase those points. But if you look back over the last little while, he's had 3 touchdowns in the last 4 games, good enough starts. But if you just look at the actual opportunities he's being given, before this 10-target week, he had 2 targets, 4 targets, 4 targets, 4 targets, 4 targets on the previous weeks.
It's tough, though, because they, you know, new team, acclimation, 9 for 173 is hard to ignore. Would you play Brandon Cooks or any of the Packers wide receivers? I'm chasing.
I think I would go Dobbs.
Dobbs?
Touchdowns.
Dobbs, you mean the things that Cooks has had a bunch of?
Dobbs has been involved a lot around the red zone. I mean, it's tough. I'm not excited to start any of those players. I mean, if there's a Tank Dell option out there, I'll take him over all of them.
Okay. Cooks feels a little bit like the Noah Brown situation from last week that no one wanted to chase, but he might be.
Could be.
He might be valuable. Anything else from this game you want to discuss?
Fergie's going to be in your lineup. Ferg Daddy's been getting it done. Touchdown in 3 straight games.
What a ride it's been with Fergie. He went from like kind of hype to, oh, maybe he's not the guy, to, oh, he's the guy. Tennessee's 3-6. The Jacksonville Jaguars are 6-3. The DraftKings Sportsbook line, Jacksonville -7. The over-under is 40. Jacksonville had just a tremendously disgusting performance last week. 4 turnovers, 3 points. Absolutely destroyed. You know, you've got Houston on the way in this division.
Yeah.
I think they could easily beat Arizona this week and rise to 6-4.
For sure.
Jacksonville lost, they'd be tied.
And the Colts. The Colts are not a bad team.
Yeah, and so Trevor Lawrence, we talked about it. You can just send him off to the waiver wire to hang out. This has not been the year you wanted from him. He doesn't give you consistent performances. He doesn't throw for a ton of yards. He doesn't use Calvin Ridley very often. We're not going to have Zay Jones back, we don't think. It's hard, too, because we didn't talk about Travis Etienne yesterday. But as I said, I've looked at every single player's soul over the last week of trade offers. Travis Etienne has a couple of things that I would like to look at. He's been one of the best in football.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of touchdowns.
Tons of touchdowns.
He also has dominated bad matchups. He's also been pretty bad against tough matchups.
Efficiency-wise, he's been very bad. The last 3 weeks prior to his down game against San Francisco, he was the running back 3, the running back 4, the running back 5. Sounds great. In all 3 of those matchups, he failed to get to 4 yards a carry and was pretty much very inefficient. He just got touchdowns.
And so, like Kansas City, he played them. He only scored 5 fantasy points. Atlanta, he played them. He only scored 8 fantasy points. The only matchup he's had that's been difficult, and then San Francisco last week, 5 fantasy points. The only one he's done well against was New Orleans. But that was a game he had 53 rushing yards. He just scored twice. So when you look at the back half of his season, you have to play Cincy. You got to play Cleveland. You got to play Baltimore. You got to play Tampa Bay. Those aren't fun.
No.
And I do wonder what his rest of season real, like, is it James Conner or Etienne? I know that seems crazy.
That's a bridge too far. I do agree with your point. I think right now the first half of the season will absolutely be the pinnacle for Travis Etienne. And because he has been so good, he is currently the running back 3 on the season. If you wanted to look at flipping him in a deal because you think, well, the touchdowns aren't sustainable. I mean, he was literally getting 2 touchdowns every single week. He's not finishing this season with 34 touchdowns. And so if you want to try to capitalize and sell high and buy low, then I think he could be a very valuable, get you a lot type of piece in a trade offer.
Let's talk about the other running back across the field, Derrick Henry. Now, Derrick Henry this year has done something he just never does, which is he duds. Like, you've got a 2-point game against Cleveland. You've got a 7-point game against Indianapolis. That seemed like it would have been a home run. You've got a 2-point game against Tampa last week on 43% of snaps. In fact, he's been sub 50% of snaps four times this year.
Tajay Spears has really eaten into the snap percentage. That being said, when Henry is on the field, he's usually getting the ball. There are games like 2 weeks ago where he was sub 50% of snaps, still carried the ball 17 times.
Yeah, no question. It does make it an interesting story for the great end-of-season schedule, though, because, you know, we talked yesterday, Houston, twice. That's always been a smash play for Henry. Houston suddenly giving up a lot of points to quarterbacks. Different personnel groupings should be really good for Henry, but you are lowering your odds of a guaranteed performance if you're on the field 40-something percent of the time.
Yeah, it is.
And they're playing for the future to a degree, right? Like, Henry is departing.
Yeah.
So at what point are they eliminated from playoff contention and you start focusing on developing your younger players?
The way that I look at this schedule for the Titans, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but the Jacksonville matchup is not a great one for Henry. I could see it going poorly again. And if you look at Henry's three bad games, two of those three bad games were against really, 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 really good run defenses in Tampa Bay and Cleveland. Jacksonville is probably the next best matchup for him to face. And after this week, though, it's the Carolina Panthers. We just talked about how bad they are. The Colts, the Dolphins, the Texans, the Seahawks, and the Texans again. So after this week, I think bright, bright days ahead for the finish line of Derrick Henry.
What about the finish line for Tajay Spears? All of the things that you said about the schedule, if he's out there 50% of the time, isn't that an opportunity for him as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what we saw with Jalen Warren last year, where you see a guy who's got a lot of juice and he's going to get more and more opportunities. But while he's been on the field, snap-wise, he is more of a decoy. Like, for instance, 2 weeks ago when Henry was on the field sub 50% of snaps and got the ball 17 times, that same game, Tajay Spears was out there 60% of the snaps, five carries. It's just it's a different utilization, so I don't think you can start Tajay Spears without a Derrick Henry injury.
Hopkins.
He's very good. Can the quarterback get him the ball?
There's a lot of those situations in the league right now. Garrett Wilson is very good. Can the quarterback get him the ball?
Yeah, and he can. Zach Wilson has looked okay. He really has.
Two touchdowns, I believe.
The last several weeks. So here's the problem with Garrett Wilson, red zone. Man, when they get in the red zone, that team does not.
Have they ever gotten in the red zone?
Yeah, they move the ball down the field no problem. I think I saw a stat where it was like whatever his passing yardage has been, it's like 260 passing yards multiple weeks in a row without a passing touchdown. I don't think that's ever happened before in NFL history. He's moving the ball, but they cannot punch it in. They do not have a red zone offense.
Yeah, I mean, that is a huge problem.
But Garrett Wilson's fine. He's a good play.
Okay.
Not in this matchup. I do think in this matchup, before we move on, Christian Kirk, keep playing him. He's been very consistent. Tennessee gives up a lot of points to the wide receiver position. Christian Kirk seems like a very, very safe play this week.
Are you ever going to get to the point with Ridley where he feels like you want to play him?
It's going to take heating up. It's going to take 2 weeks in a row.
Okay.
Now.
You need some evidence.
Yeah.
All right.
Welcome to Starts of the Week, presented by Purina Pro Plan.
Well, I'll kick it off, quarterback. I'm going with, hold on, let me find it.
Introducing
Jared Goff.
Jared Goff.
Oh, yeah, Jared Goff. I forgot. He's taking on Chicago. Come on. He's at home. Come on. He's a monster at home. He's averaging 273 passing yards and 2.4 passing touchdowns at home. He may even have one to go around for Jameson Williams in this game. Chicago can't stop the pass, and they have been stopping the run. So, like, and I think Justin Fields coming back raises the ceiling potential, because if Justin Fields can get a little.
I agree.
You know, whenever I have an offense in a blowout situation like this, I am begging for that defense to find a way to score two touchdowns. Justin Fields can get two touchdowns.
Yeah. There's nothing that could be better than a miraculous fumble recovery for a touchdown by the Bears. Like, that will just mean Jared Goff goes bananas.
51 and 61 combined points in their two matchups last year. So I'm excited about Jared Goff.
My start of the week at quarterback is Brock Purdy at home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Purdy was one of the quarterbacks we highlighted yesterday on the playoff primer. He currently leads the league in passer rating, in yards per attempt, and expected points per dropback. He's been really, really good, and especially been great when Debo was on the field. When he's got the whole supply of weapons, he has been a very good fantasy asset. They are healthy right now, and the wheels are falling off for Tampa Bay. Since week six, they rank 31st in schedule-adjusted fantasy points to quarterbacks, 28th in expected points per passing attempt. With a 26-point team implied total, San Francisco should roll at home as double-digit favorites. I think Brock Purdy is a great play.
Looked really good coming out of the bye with all his weapons. Brian Robinson against the New York Football Giants is my start of the week at the running back position. He just won't go away. He's Brian Robinson, but he's the RB4 on the year, and we are in week 11. He gets a ton of opportunities. Last week he was the number one pass catcher for this team, which was crazy, and they're heavy favorites. So this is a game where you can kind of look, the Giants are going to throw in the towel at some point, and Brian Robinson will he'll catch it, and then he will just run his way to a top 15 performance.
Yeah, yeah, I love that play. I'm going with James Conner, running back for the Arizona Cardinals, on the road in Houston. He returned from IR this last week. He saw immediately 63% of the snaps, 16 opportunities. And the Cardinals-Texans, now this game is a game I want everything to do with. I want just about every player that can be had. They are the highest over-under of the week. Keep in mind, Kansas City plays Philadelphia this week. So it's like, could you imagine thinking that, it'll be the Cardinals-Texans as the highest over-under, not the Eagles-Chiefs. But the Texans rank 31st in PFF's team tackling grades, and they've also allowed the fourth most rushing touchdowns in the NFL. So when they get around the goal line, I think James Conner will get his.
Regrettably, I have chosen Brandon Ayuk as my start of the week at the wide receiver position. I say regrettably because I am facing him in League of Record and know what is coming.
I was confused.
Through Week 10, Ayuk is the clear number one in this offense. We saw some big plays last week back into the end zone. The recipe is quite clear in San Francisco. You give the ball to Debo and you give the ball to Christian McCaffrey, and then you play action and throw it about 30 yards down the field to Ayuk, and then you just do it over and over again and you win by a bunch of points. Tampa Bay, you mentioned it. Right now they're awful. They're giving up a pile of these deep throws. You know, 39 completions of 20-plus yards, which is the Brandon Ayuk zone. That's the fourth most in the NFL. Ayuk is, unfortunately for me, but very fortunately for you if you have him, set up for success this week.
All right. I've mentioned this player a couple times on today's episode already, and we'll talk about him on the matchup tomorrow. But Tank Dell is my wide receiver start of the week at home against Arizona. I think he is the alpha among the Texans pass catchers. Nico Collins is just now coming back off of injury. Robert Woods, Noah Brown dealing with their own. If you actually take out week one, this is a little cherry picky, but it makes sense. You take out week one, which was his first career game. Yeah, he played limited snaps. He wasn't a full-time player. And you take out the concussion game in week five where he had 36% of snaps. He is averaging 15.6 fantasy points per game, 8.3 targets, 77 receiving yards per game. For a rookie, that per-game average would be top five since 2014, behind only Odell Beckham, Justin Jefferson, Puka, and Ja'Marr Chase. He earns targets, and the Cardinals are good at giving them up. They're like, hey, We're going to make it easy for you to get a target. 37% of opponent pass attempts result in a first down. That's 31st in the NFL. There's a reason this game is the highest over-under.
I went and looked at my best ball, like underdog best ball mania situations.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't have. I mean, you have a billion.
Not the best ball mania, but okay. I've got a billion. I've got one lineup in best ball mania.
But I do have a first place best ball mania
Ooh,
team.
Ooh, very nice.
So, which is great. But
you got Tank Dell?
Well, no, I have C.J. Stroud, though.
Ah.
And I went and looked at that, and I was like, oh, man, like who would have thought like drafting this rookie late would have paid off as much as it had? But he has gotten it done. My tight end start of the week, I'm going back to him. Dalton Kincaid against the Jets. He's been on fire. He is heavily involved in the offense. He's involved down the field. He's been the tight end three in the last four games since the departure of Dawson Knox, which we saw this coming, or at least saw the potential of it. But to see it executed with a rookie – you love to see it. Say, you know, Stephon Diggs had his worst game of the year last year, and, you know, the panic in the streets of Buffalo. I don't know how much of that was related to the fact that he was very limited in practice and had the back injury. Maybe that's just coincidence. I don't know how angry he was he didn't get more targets. But right now, Dalton Kincaid is a fundamentally sound part of this offense, and that's what you love to see. And it's hard, you know, if you go away from the top end tight ends to find a start of the week, this is the one that you're looking at where the Jets are a really good defense, but I think Kincaid will get it done.
Yeah, and I've got Sam Laporta stacking up with your quarterback at home. That is the rookie tight end for the Detroit Lions. The Lions have the second highest team implied total of the week. Laporta at home is averaging 15.3 fantasy points per game. 8 targets, 6 for 63 and 1 on average. And the Bears are bad against tight end. They rank 25th in schedule-adjusted fantasy points to tight ends. Sam Laporta should be a great play this week.
All right, thanks again to our sponsor, Purina Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport provides fine-tuned nutrition for strength and stamina that enables dogs and owners to take on life's adventures together. Pro Plan Sport, high-performance fuel for active dogs. It all starts here.
Jason Moore's Ironclad, Locked and Loaded, 100% guaranteed Boom Boom Kicker of the Week.
Last week on Boom Boom Kicker, I roundhouse farted the number one kicker of the week, and he dropped dead in prison.
He's a really dark.
Escaped from Alcatraz, I vanished with a little pizzazz as I set course for Shanghai. I commandeered a cockpit. This was rude, I do admit, but the ultimate cannonball for the Commanders, Joey Sly. See, I pushed him out.
No, I sure.
Of the plane. And so I hope he cannonballed. That's how I want to hit the ground if I ever have jump out of a plane without a chute.
We left some mystery as to his demise, like whether he could have survived it.
I mean, cannonball is probably the safest method.
Okay.
So,
good. So Joey Slot.
Good luck, Joey.
Last week was Jason Myers. Was that right?
Yes, it was.
Okay. I think he did all right, didn't he?
He was the number one.
All right. We are.
How are you feeling? Was this episode cathartic? Are you feeling more forgiveness?
I think what I. Forgiveness is not the word. That'll come in time. I mean, the choice, I brought it up this morning, it's spending my life in prison for murder or forgiveness. And I will choose forgiveness in that situation. But I just want people to understand that they cut me out of the offer I made. They cut me right out. That's all.
In fairness, they did say that you came up with a great offer.
It is patronizing makes it worse.
Yeah,
makes it way worse.
Oh, Josh was digging his own grave yesterday when he was talking to
me. It was a friendship betrayal. It really was because it made it, you know, it's like the show Survivor where you think you're friends with people and you're not.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
they
yeah.
talked to me for an hour. They talked to me for an hour like a friend. Uh-huh. And then instead of ever being a friend at the end of it, they just said, we're going to cut you out and do this in secret. It was a friendship thing. It's not.
I want you to.
It's going
to
last a long time.
Yes. Yes. Andy.
It's going to last a really. Yes. It's going to last a really long
remember
time.
This when trying to make deals with them. Remember.
I will.
What scoundrels
no,
are.
I will.
Don't even make deals with them.
At least one.
Hold
of
on to
at
your
least
hatred.
One of them I probably will hold. I will probably hold it against Josh in all leagues I play with him for a really long time.
Two seasons?
Multiple leagues.
Yeah, no. But multiple leagues, two seasons?
Now, see, the problem is I now think you are self-seeking because you do not want me to get deals done.
I overplayed my hand.
Yes. BallersDiscord.com. Go check out the conversation over there. The Foot Clan hanging out, chatting. Tomorrow we got matchups, fantasy face-off. We'll see if I'm one day closer to forgiveness.
Also, we should let people know, in there, like, What there is like a some absurd thing you chose to do?
Yes, there is an absurd thing I chose to do. If you go to dfspass.com, if you're interested in using the DFS Pass, we're about halfway through the season. The DFS Pass is normally $50. There is a coupon right now you can use that lets you have it for the rest of the season plus the playoffs for under $17. And so that's just TryDFS23.
That's the code?
Yeah.
Like,
that's the code.
TryDFS23?
Yeah. So if you want to try it, it's good for a week. DFSPass.com. Use the code TryDFS23. Thank you for reminding me about that. We sent an email out with that yesterday. We want people to get in there. It's really been a good experience. We've got a new lineup optimizer and a bunch of a lot of success from players this year.
We have never received as many messages over any product ever this year. The tweets and the comments saying, like,
yeah, people are enjoying
it. Thank
you
for your picks. Thank you for your plays. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, the whole mantra behind that product since the beginning was DFS for the rest of us. Like, the DFS products out there are like $100 a month at minimum for like a bunch of other major sites. And we,
or $17 for the year.
Or $17 for the year. So we want people in there and playing and having fun and enjoying it and having success and then not like spending a bunch of money and then not having success and then you're just out more money. So it's for the fun,
yeah,
of the game. And so that's DFSPass.com. 1 week only. Code is TryDFS23. That'll do it for today's show. You can check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/TheFantasyFootballer. Subscribe, click the bell, and you'll catch Jason Moore live on Sunday. Talk to you tomorrow, Foot Clan.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.